This is Matthew K. Manning, and thanks for listening to Geek News Bat News.
Welcome to Geek News Bat News. Today's episode, Matthew K. Manning Interview Part 1. Joining us is the brilliant bat historian, author, and writer of the super awesome DC mashup comic, Batman / TMNT Adventures. Geek News Bat News is a production of comicbookinternational.com. That's comicbookintl.com. Check out Comic Book International for all the latest in geek news. Check us out on Twitter and Instagram at comicbookintl. That's at comicbookintl. Welcome, you nerdy bat fans, to Geek News Bat News. I am your host, Benjamin David. Let's see how long I can keep that. Okay, let's not. What's up, guys? Admittedly, it's been a while since our last meeting of geeks and bats and newses. Before we get to some really good excuses as to why we haven't been here, let's listen to what our guest, Mr. Matthew K. Manning, has to say about his work on DC's Batman / TMNT Adventures.
And yeah, the animated series is really the official adaptation. It's the best adaptation of what's happening in the comics, or what was, especially at that time.
Ha 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 ha, you heard it here, from a bat historian, from someone who writes for DC, Batman the Animated Series is the best adaptation. Couldn't agree more. I mean, I knew the guy was right. I think most of you guys knew the guy was right. It's just great hearing it straight from the horse's mouth, you know what I'm saying? So, if you've never seen this book, the book in question, the reason that we're here today, the Batman / TMNT Adventures, this is a book by Matthew K. Manning, today's guest, and it is a crossover of my entire childhood. Both major cartoon franchises for me as a kid, animated series Batman meets the current Nickelodeon Ninja Turtles. Now, while obviously I didn't grow up in the current Nickelodeon Ninja Turtles, still, animated series Batman, it's all the art and the universe of that Batman meets the current Nickelodeon Ninja Turtles, which if you haven't seen the current Nickelodeon Ninja Turtles, I hadn't seen it prior to this book. I watched it. It is fantastic. So the meeting of these two universes was genius, and no one better than Matthew K. Manning could have done it. And of course, John Somariva, the artist. So again, this doesn't get much more early 90s Benjamin David than this mashup. Most of the things in this world that I love are rolled into six delicious comic issues made just for me. He said that in the interview. No, he didn't. Don't quote me or him on that. Again, we know it's been a while since Geek Newses and Bat Newses, but we've been slightly busy, you know, doing this other little project involving a Batman Beyond podcast. What? There's a Batman Beyond podcast? And it's produced by Comic Book International? The same guys who make Geek News Bat News? Yes. Listen, you over-enthusiastic bat freaks. Calm down. All of these things are true. No, they are true. The name of the podcast, Above and Batman Beyond. I promise we will get to the Matthew K. Manning interview soon enough, but believe me, you'll want to hear about this other show real quick first. But before we get to that, we always have to send the audio bat signal shout out to BPN, BPN, the Batman Podcast Network. Geek News Bat News is a proud member of the Batman Podcast Network. We're thrilled and honored to be part of this awesome bat network of podcasts. Go to batmanpodcastnetwork.com to find our show, as well as more than 20 others, all talking about the bat. Thanks once again to you, BPN, for bringing us into your audio Batman network. Okay, so back to what I was saying about our new podcast, Above and Batman Beyond. The new show is exciting for, like, a billion reasons. It's exciting for every dollar in Bruce Wayne's bank account. We'll go with that. Well, maybe not his bank account by the time of Beyond, considering the amount of interest accrued over decades of time, plus. Anyway, it's exciting. Let's leave it at that. So to listen to things that make it fun, and why you should listen and subscribe to it. First, even if we at CBI didn't make it, which should be reason enough, let's be real, Above and Batman Beyond is the only podcast devoted entirely to Batman Beyond. Look it up. It's the truth. That's actually a pretty big deal when you think about it for other reasons as well. For some people, Batman Beyond is their Batman. When they hear Alfred, when they hear the word Batman or think about the character or of Gotham City, for them it's not Bruce Wayne and Alfred. It's Terry McGinnis donning the high-tech Beyond cowl of the future, you know, and it's the old Bruce Wayne acting as the future Alfred, and it's Neo-Gotham, not Gotham City. But even if Beyond isn't necessarily your Batman, this show is still a must-listen for Bat fans of all shapes and sizes. The other reason to check it out is that much like today's episode of Geek News Bat News you're listening to now, Above and Batman Beyond features interviews with real creators from DC Comics and the world of Beyond. Mr. Dan Jurgens, for one, you know, the guy responsible for the death of Superman, the birth of Booster Gold, no big deal. But seriously, we actually got Dan Jurgens to come on the show and talk about his current run of Batman Beyond Rebirth comics for DC. See, kids, it never hurts to ask. Before you know it, you have a legendary writer and artist like Dan Jurgens to come on your podcast to talk about all of your favorite things. Any Bat nerd's dream come true. I'm living it, baby. aside from Batman Beyond, Mr. Jurgens and I talked about his own character creation of DC's Booster Gold, as I said before, his unique approach to comic creation, his inspiration for Booster and the character on TV and upcoming Booster Gold movie currently in development. Then we wrapped up our discussion with some professional and life advice for creators that was pure gold. So again, please check out Above and Batman Beyond. Much like the show you're listening to now, it's hosted by me, Benjamin David, and you can find it on iTunes and SoundCloud. Please subscribe on iTunes and write us a 5-star review so that you don't miss the next episode of Above and Batman Beyond as well, this time featuring the artist of DC's current Beyond universe, Mr. Bernard Chang. If you're an art guy, if you read comics and you're like, or an art girl, I should say, and you're like, I'm more about the art, or if you like art equally as much as I do, we got the artist now. That is right. For episode one, we got to hear the man behind the writing of Batman Beyond Rebirth, half of the brain of the book, writer Dan Jurgens. Now we get the art of it all, the other half of the brain, artist Bernard Chang. The work these two creators have done on this book is not only stellar unto itself, but it has also literally transformed the property of Batman Beyond. In case you haven't been following the current Beyond comics, Jurgens and Chang have brought Terry McGinnis and the rest of Batman Beyond into official DC continuity. This means that Batman Beyond, for the first time in DC Comics history, has been inducted into the official timeline and mythos of Batman. A huge deal for any Beyond fan, and not a small deal for Batman comics in general, either. Let's face it, these are the guys responsible for predicting the future of the Bat for DC. And we, here at CBI, are fortunate enough to kick off our new Batman Beyond podcast with Dan Jurgens and Bernard Chang. So again, please subscribe and write us a review on iTunes. The name of the show is Above and Batman Beyond, and you can also find it on SoundCloud and our very own website, batmanbeyondpodcast.com. Okay, so let's get down to it. For today's episode of Geek News Bat News, we have part one of my interview/podcast conversation with DC Comics' Matthew K. Manning, writer of the current Batman/TMNT Adventures. As I said before, if you've never seen this book, it is a crossover of my entire childhood, both major cartoon franchises for me as a kid, animated series Batman meets the current Nickelodeon Ninja Turtles. Doesn't get much more early 90s than that. Coincidentally, this interview will be posted not a week before the trade paperback of Batman/TMNT Adventures comes out. This was just kind of a funny coincidence, like I said. The book hits shelves on July 18th, so do not miss out on this trade. If you haven't started the book, then it's a perfect buy for you. You'll save tons compared to the individual issues. Take it from me, I've bought them. And you'll also own the numerous variant covers Matt talked about in the interview. I'm buying the trade as well, I don't care. Anyway, what was cool about this particular guest was that my talk with Matthew K. Manning turned into more of a conversation than an interview. This is a podcaster's dream in most cases. As a former teacher and someone who idolizes Batman, I am always overprepared with questions for interviews. The last thing you want is dead air or nothing to talk about. But with Mr. Manning, he just talked and talked. And I mean that in the best way possible. That's not a slight in any way. As I said at the end of our talk, the beauty of podcasting is that we are here for the guests mostly, and you can simply let the brilliant creators talk about what matters to them most. For example, we delved into the hugely informative tangents about bat history. Matt Manning is a bat historian and author just as much as a comic creator, or a creator in general. Which for me, as a history and comic nerd, pure bliss. Pure bliss. Our conversation ended up running over an hour, so I thought we could easily cut it in two parts for two separate episodes. So if you want to hear our conversation the whole way through, you better subscribe to our show on iTunes. See how clever I am, holding half of this conversation hostage? just to get more subscribers? Pretty villainous, but, you know, it is a free show, people, so there's always that. Who am I talking to right now? Okay, moving on. The final thing I'll say before the interview is that Matthew said he would be willing to come back for another talk. So I really can't wait for that. What will we talk about then? Who knows? Send us suggestions at comicbookintl on Twitter and Instagram, or email us at comicbookintl@gmail.com. Without further ado, here is part one of my Skype interview with Matthew K. Manning, the brilliant bat historian, author, and writer of the super awesome DC mashup comic Batman/TMNT Adventures.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad.
Do you go by Matt or Matthew?
I can go by either. Yeah.
Okay.
no real preference on that.
All right. So I thought we would start with you as a creator first. So a large portion of your work, at least at DC, is Gotham City based. Am I correct? A lot of Batman stuff?
Yeah, just a couple other projects aside from Batman. I've done a couple Legion projects back in the day and a few things like that. But yeah, a lot of things have a heavy Batman feel to them, even if they're not Batman, like when I did some Justice League issues. So.
Nice. Yeah, that works out beautifully. Our show is Batman-centric, so any bat topics we have, our listeners won't mind. So what's your total time at DC, then?
Well, I want to say I started in 2003 was when my first comic came out for them.
Okay.
And that was an issue of Justice League Adventures. So I did that, and that was... where Aquaman was controlled by Poison Ivy in that one, so it already had kind of a Batman feel to it. And then a second issue of Justice League Adventures before I moved on to getting some work doing some Batman Strikes issues.
Okay.
And then I kind of, there was a kind of a shift around that. I did some other projects, but I started doing some work for books like DK Publishing. So for a while...
Okay.
DK, yeah, I did, like, the Ultimate Guide to Spider-Man, like, a revised version of that first.
Yeah, I saw that list of guys. I was looking your stuff up. That's cool.
Yeah, and then there was, like, Wolverine and Iron Man after that, so I kind of spent a bit of time doing a lot of books, you know, and I would do comics on the side. The books were really what was allowed me to quit day jobs, you know, and just go right into writing. The comic work wasn't as consistent at that point, so. And now I still do.
You've been able to do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, luckily. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So I quit on my 30th birthday. So that was kind of like a thing. I was like, all right, I'm going to try this. Go, you know, nothing but writing. And now I'm, what, 38, 39? Oh, 38, yeah. I have to normally ask my wife how old I am. But I can't keep track.
I'm actually glad you brought that up because at some point, anytime we interview people, I always like to ask, you know, for words of wisdom and writing advice. I'm personally an aspiring writer myself, and I just, as you said, like on your 30th birthday, that was all you were doing. And you hate to break things down necessarily economically, but it's a big deal. Like, if you can get paid for the thing that you love, like, that's really the dream for any creator, and right now I'm kind of like, I have a job that pays the bills now, but I also just left a career job that was taking most of the time. Like, I didn't really have the time to fully devote to podcasting and writing before, and now I do, so it's really exciting. And but to have all the time, that would be, oh man, that's really the dream. How much fun has that been, just being able to do that?
It's good. I mean, I like it a lot. There's drawbacks. Like, you don't have you have to kind of set your own schedule, which can be difficult at some point, when, like, to just keep yourself at your desk when there's other things you want to be doing. But which is why, yeah, end up doing like this 6-7 day work days a lot of weeks. So.
You mean because you either push yourself too hard or you get like backed up on stuff?
Well, no, it's not. I normally am okay with deadlines. It's more of just trying to stay afloat. I have to do like a lot of different jobs. My wife's not working currently since we have the two little girls. The idea was not to have her work until the youngest is in school, which is happening soon. But so that means I kind of have to take a lot of, you know, a lot of jobs just to make sure, you know, we're doing okay.
Hardworking writer.
Yeah, I try. It doesn't really feel like a very difficult job. It's just kind of, sometimes it's just a mental game of like, all right, you know, I have to get off, because it's writing's an isolating job too, where you don't have, you're not around a lot of people like at a day job. And so it's like, sometimes your only connection to the outside world is, besides my family, like, you know, like Facebook for the day. And it's like, all right, I got to get off Facebook, you know? So.
Yeah. A lot of distractions now, especially as a writer. Interesting. That's, again, I always like to hear, you know, not just, of course, we'll talk about the work, but, you know, the man behind the work. So that's cool. So we talked about some of the things that you, other books that you've done. How about collaborators? Well, who are some of the favorite people that you've worked with at DC or elsewhere, and why? Kind of what makes them a good collaborator on a comic book?
As far as artists go, or?
Okay. Artists, writers.
I've only done co-writing a couple times on some books. I just did a book with SD Perry for Inside Edition, which is, okay. I think it's coming out this fall. It's like an anatomy guide to DC Comics characters. So it's Batman looking through all the, you know, his world and trying to figure out exactly how Superman's powers work, or how Aquaman can go so deep and not have his lungs collapse and that kind of thing. So, and she was great with that. She actually really, handle all the science, or the faux science in the book. But she was actually one of the only co-writers I've worked with. I normally write by myself. And that was one where Insight said, you know, we have this, great writer that does, you know, all the kind of like science talk and has a real background with, you know, technical ideas in books and things, but she doesn't know as much about the DC universe. So they kind of pulled me in for that to write, you know, to kind of make her writing into like Batman speak. So that was great. Yeah, it was definitely an interesting process, and we really got along very well, which is good, because there's always that worry. You're going to butt heads too many times and clash egos, but she's great. So, but I've as far as artists go, there's been a lot. The problem is, a lot of times I don't get to talk to the artist that much. If I'm doing like standalone issues, we don't really get sometimes the editors don't put us in touch, or sometimes I just have no way of contacting them, that kind of thing. John Somariva from Batman Turtles and I, we had probably one of the closest collaborations I've had, and we had a great time. He lives in Australia, and I actually got to meet him at the North Carolina Comic Con this year. He flew all the way up, and he was like, well, you know, if I'm going this far, you can go like 5 hours for a convention. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, heck yeah.
So we got a chance to hang out in person, and we got along really well again, which is good, because our tables were right next to each other. That would have been awful if we didn't, but
yeah.
But yeah, we already kind of knew that we would get along well. We sent we actually mostly talked through like Twitter IMs.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was kind of like back and forth of, hey, I have, you know, what if we add, like, he wanted to add like the sequence to issue 5, and he had like 5 extra panels, and I was like, all right, if you want to draw 5 extra panels, that's fine with me.
Was it the intro sequence?
No, it was at the end with the it's right when Hatter's devices are about to go off.
Okay.
And it's where, and you just see all 5 of the little, the beacons from the previous issues.
Yeah.
And he wanted to just remind the readers where they were and, like, show them in real time, like, actually show the beacons themselves. And it was better for the story. And, you know, I was like, I felt bad that he wanted to draw, you know, he had to draw a lot of extra panels, but it worked better, you know. So I'm always a fan for changes in the script if it actually helps the story. I've had some artists that it didn't go well where they've changed things in the script just because they didn't feel like drawing something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always painful.
Man, they're just like, it's just literally that lazy. They just don't want to do it.
Yeah, or like, I mean, I don't know, you know, how labor, I mean, it's drawing is so much more labor intensive anyway than writing. And it's the idea of them saying like, oh, it's the, you know, like, I don't want to set this in a shopping center per se, you know, I don't want to draw that much. And it's like, that's kind of important to the story. And then, you know,
right. That's gotta be annoying.
Yeah, it can be. But that's, you know, that happens sometimes. I've noticed on, like, lower profile books where the artists know not that many people are reading, like, you know, say one of the all ages books,
mm-hmm.
where it's, where to me, I'm kind of like, even those, when it comes to comics, I want every comic to be as, you know, as good as I can make that particular issue for what, you know, given our constraints. And luckily, John was not that way with Turtles. He went over the top. Like, there was a scene in issue 6 where...
I mean, clearly, this book looks amazing.
Oh, yeah, he did great. Well, in issue 6, I said, okay, here's... I listed, like, a whole bunch of Turtles villains, like 40 villains. Don't draw all of these. Just draw as many as you want to fit in or whatever. And he, like, drew the whole thing. He's like, challenge accepted, and drew the whole thing.
Dude, they're all there.
Yeah.
It took me so long to read these comics because I'm just, like... pouring through my childhood things of, like, it was one of those nostalgia things, especially Turtles, and we'll get into it in a minute, because, like, Batman Animated, I was, you know, I still watch that all the time, but Turtles, I really haven't revisited, and it was just, like, one of those things you never would have thought about otherwise, and all these villains just poured back into my memory. I was like, oh my god.
But yeah, and he did the same thing, too, with, like, I think it was issue 3, the Scarecrow issue, where there was the fear gas hallucination, and you see all these Batman villains that aren't in the story. And, mm-hmm. like, again, he drew every single one. I was like, you can even throw Condiment King back there, or Red Claw, or whatever, and he did every one I asked for, which I thought was pretty funny. Wow. But he was, well, that was all John's fault, though. We were talking, and he's like, ah, it's too bad I didn't get to draw, like, some of these characters, like Riddler and all that. And I was like, all right, you want to draw Riddler? I could figure out what these are.
Yeah.
Yeah, the editor was like, this is going to be a tough one for John to draw. And that's Bobby, our editor, and I said, well, you know, John brought this on himself. He has to draw these.
He asked for it.
It was a particular one. And yeah, I thought he did really good. That whole dream sequence was one of my favorites.
Yeah, I mean, clearly...
Fear gas sequence, I guess I should say.
No, yeah, I got it. The Scarecrow fear gas. Yeah, I mean, you guys, I guess we'll talk about that in a minute, or I could just talk about it now. So what is your background, you and John's, with either franchises and, like, because clearly there's love, even if you guys don't watch them. I mean, you guys did your homework, and there's got to be some love there.
Oh, yeah. Well, as far as John goes, I know he'd worked a little bit on the Turtles animated book with me for IDW.
Okay.
Because there was, I think he was mostly on the second one, if I remember right. I think he did a cover. We did a Carmelo Anthony basketball special with the Turtles, which was the weirdest job I've had. What? I think he did it for that too. So, yeah, I got to, once I realized they were going to do something silly with it, I was all in, because I was...
Yeah, why not?
And they said, so I pitched them the silliest idea for that one. I said, let's make him into a mutant armadillo and call him the Carmadillo. And once they got back to me and said, yeah, that's what he's looking for. And I was like, all right, I'm doing this one. This sounds fun. If he took it too serious, I don't know how I was going to do that, you know?
No, yeah.
But yeah, he wanted to be mutated. So.
Oh, but that's brilliant.
If I'm remembering correctly, I think John did a cover for that, but he did some covers for other issues, and we did a short story and a backup story in one of them. But, I've been doing Turtles for a while. I actually, I kind of just like emailed the editor there several years ago, and I was, I'd been watching the cartoon a little bit with my oldest daughter now, and because I loved Turtles as a kid. I grew up with the original series, the cartoon series, and some of the comics. And I was like, I remember like buying all the toys, you know, and all that. And then so I was really into it. I wanted my daughter to see it. And the new one, I was very surprised by the quality of the current Nickelodeon cartoon. And
yes, I revisited it, or I visited it for the first time. I was very impressed as well.
yeah, the writing and the art, like every, like it really, it's a really well done show, and the direction and everything. So I was kind of just like kind of emailed IDW out of the blue about it and asked if, hey, are you guys looking for anything? You know, cause I was just off of doing Beware the Batman.
Okay.
For DC that, unfortunately that comic ended after 6 issues because Cartoon Network put the cartoon at like 3 a.m, so no one could watch it.
Yeah, what happened with that cartoon? So for those unfamiliar, there was a cartoon in 2013 and it was called Beware the Batman. 3D animation. I want to say it was on Cartoon Network, and I want to say it also had Glenn Murakami, who was one of the original guard of BTAS. Am I correct? Batman Animated?
Yeah, I'm not actually sure everybody was involved in the show. My only involvement was just watching the show and writing the cartoon and reading like scripts from the show. You know, they sent me those.
Right. Okay. So sorry. Yeah, that was the show, and then you did a comic called Beware the Batman, also titled the same thing, but. Yeah, I heard going back to my question, you know, Cartoon Network kind of just really, it doesn't seem like they did a great job marketing. You said they put it on 3 a.m. I heard similar stuff.
Yeah, it was weird. It was kind of like with Young Justice. It seemed like they just didn't really want the show very much. They were kind of like moving in other directions. And so for whatever reason, they decided to kill that show.
That stinks. I thought it was pretty good.
Oh, yeah. And I'd been trying, ever since I heard it was... coming out, I've been trying to write the comic because I'm a huge fan of my first comic book was Batman and the Outsiders number 10. So yeah. I love Batman and I love weird, obscure villains as well. And the show really had an Outsiders feel. I learned right away Katana was going to be his main sidekick instead of Robin. And they even had Metamorpho on some episodes and Tobias Whale, Black Lightning villain, was in some episodes. So it had a real. And it even kind of like looked like it was gearing towards, by the end of it, if you watched the whole show, it looked like it was making an Outsiders team, essentially. And so that was kind of like, oh, my God, I love this. Especially, they kind of had a thing where there was, I think one of the reasons they also didn't like the show was there was no Joker, there was no Penguin. It was all minor villains like
Professor. Yeah, so again, for those unfamiliar, it was the other spin on it that was cool that Matt was just saying was that it was all, not only was it, did it have like these different spins on it where it was Katana was Robin and, you know, you had different villains. It was also what was interesting, the absence of the major villains. So sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to,
Yeah, they started to try to pepper a couple minor ones like, Killer Croc and Man-Bat and things like that. But they didn't, and they never really went with, any of the main villains. You know, I think that was going to be the next season and it just never happened. So I think that might have been a problem with the show. I think for a casual viewer, for me, it was like the show.
Right.
But, yeah, I think the only things I didn't like about the show was I feel like Bruce Wayne should have been developed more. Like, in Batman Animated Series, we really had more of a rounded character.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also, like, Gotham City just kind of felt like a generic. It's almost the same thing with the Nolan movies by the last two. It was Gotham City felt like another Chicago or something, just kind of more of a generic city, where I love the best when Gotham is, like, its own weird... you know, creation, whether it's like the Art Deco version from the animated series or like very gothic, you know, like in like the Tim Burton, Anton Furst designs for the first Batman movie, that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
It's an opportunity with that, especially with animation. You can go crazy, you know, with that. So, but I think they were kind of, so Batman was wearing all black for the first time in a cartoon. I think it was very much trying to be in that Nolan kind of vibe because that's what, you know, was very popular, you know.
Right.
So they're kind of spinning out of that.
Which that would have been right after Nolan, correct?
Yeah. I mean, I could see them going with that kind of the current trend of what you know, they were doing in the movies. But I feel like, you know, I think Series 90 needed to kind of pop out. Even the Batman series or whatever.
Yeah, that was the 07, 2007 series.
Yeah, even that one, that one's kind of, you can really see, feel Gotham. They did like weird, eerie green and purple and red skies all the time and big full moons, you know, like always. So,
God, what a good point about, listen to that, kids. Take that advice. Anytime you're writing Batman or looking at Batman, watching Batman, whatever form you have of Batman, Gotham City should definitely be a character unto itself in whatever style you have.
Yeah, I was happy when, for Batman Turtles, we actually got to play with Gotham just a little bit in issue number 6.
Oh, it looks so good.
Yeah, and we had a different colors for it, and he just, like, knocked it out as exactly, we were looking for, like, that new Batman adventure style, like, backgrounds where it's kind of, like, a lot of red and a lot of, like almost like airbrush buildings and things. And Gelman actually tried to get that a little bit in the earlier issues, and we didn't really have any luck with it. And then in this last issue, we really kind of, I mean, it looks just like the series to me. Like the second, you know, WB incarnation of the show.
Correct. So yeah, for those unfamiliar, within what is generally known as Batman the Animated Series, there were several iterations. The creators and artists remain the same for the most part. You still had Bruce Timm and Paul Dini and Alan Burnett as executive producers and artists and writers. But there was a major redesign, specifically in the look of the show. So you still had the same universe of characters, also voice characters. They always came back with very few changes. For example, Kevin Conroy as Batman and so on. But the major difference, once again, was the look of the show. So the animation changed, and the it's what is generally known as the redesign of Batman the Animated Series, but in its title was then called New Batman Adventures. Again, the love and attention that you guys put into it shines brightly, because in issue 6, if you've been reading the Batman Turtles Adventures, Matt and John switched the styles of it to be the New Batman Adventures style. So when we were just describing Gotham, or when Matt was just describing Gotham, that's what he was referring to when he said New Batman Adventures. Because sometimes people get, I try to explain that when I can, because people sometimes get confused and they think they're different shows. But yeah, and I absolutely love that you did that for the sixth issue. That was so cool. Such a good idea to freshen. I mean, as if this thing wasn't fresh enough, you're like, yeah, why not? Let's mix the new, the Batman Adventure stuff into it. So great.
That was actually like a weird thing that happened during the comic. We were supposed to only do 5 issues. They had originally said 5 issues, and I think IDW realized later, like,
oh, right, because the story ends at that 5th issue. You're right.
We ended the whole book at issue 5, and after I turned in the 5th issue, they got back to me and they said, you know, this is, I don't know if it was just selling really well or they just kind of reviewed their contracts more or something, but they said, you know, we actually can do 6 issues of this. We'd like to do the 6th one.
Yes.
I was like, oh, I just finished the story. I don't have any more story. And so I kind of had to brainstorm it for a bit, and I sent them a couple weird ideas. I was like, what if we did a crossover with the Turtles from the 80s cartoon? And Nickelodeon, I don't think, was game for that. And so it was kind of
okay.
And then I was like, well, let's, we'll do this later. Like, my editor really wanted to see, we'd been teasing the Krang the whole time, he really wanted to see the Krang.
Right.
And that didn't work in our original story, but I was thinking about it, and I thought, you know, it would be, if we did just like a kind of a straightforward Krang invasion, you know, didn't try to do any kind of fancy plot, really, or anything, and just kind of have, but that way we could get into the new version of the cartoon, you know, get to see the other characters. And so I went back and I tacked on that, epilogue to issue 5, where we have Scarecrow design his costume at the end because he's seen something strange that no one else has seen.
Yes, that's right. I love that. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so that was kind of like an addition of like, okay, I need to hint that something else is coming. And so
the hint was that it was Scarecrow drawing the new Batman Adventures version of his costume.
Right, and to do that, I had to actually combine 2 earlier pages and take out a couple panels. But
that's so cool.
I wanted to include that extra. You know, we needed a teaser for the next issue, so people weren't like, "Okay, I'm done." But you know, I also the next issue was going to be completely different. But it was fun. I really got to do the. We were talking about, you know, if we ever do a sequel, we do it in the new Batman Adventure style. And now I've kind of scratched that itch, so I'm not sure if we do that anymore, you know.
Okay. I was actually going to ask. I mean, that was an obvious question, but is there going to be an issue 7? Is it going to be?
There's not going to be any more issues for this particular series. They have been, we have just talked like in passing, maybe, you know, in a couple years down the line, there might be something. We might do
a sequel. You just deeply disappointed me, my friend.
Yeah, me too. But well, the problem is Nickelodeon's in transition with the Turtles themselves. So the current Turtles is going cartoon is going to end. They're going to reboot it, and they haven't decided, or they haven't let us know exactly what's going to happen. So we don't know if there is a reboot. Like, we probably can't continue this particular version of Turtles with Batman. That version, or I mean, I guess we just kind of, it would kind of depend, you know, on what they decide to do. But and you know, we've like John and I were actually, we were trying to maybe get DC to do a Batman Adventures, you know, ongoing series. So far, we haven't got any interest from DC for that. So I've had a lot of fans email me about it, and I'm like, I just tell everyone if they would like to see that, keep emailing and tweeting and, you know, messaging DC. I'm not the one.
Two words. Hell yes. So you're saying you would do a new Batman Adventures, but just a comic.
Oh yeah, but I mean, I would love to do a Batman, like a new, like the third incarnation of Batman Adventures, the comic book itself. But
oh right, because there's never been one, right?
Well, they did Batman Adventures volume, like the one in 1992 or whatever.
But those were based on the old animation, not the.
And then they did a sequel later on. Like it was actually almost in the Justice League universe. Dan Slott did one.
Right, because the Justice League, that was actually part of why they did a redesign, I think, because Bruce Timm in an interview said that, like, he was setting up the Justice League animated.
Well, and they did do I think it was Gotham Adventures or something, where they've done some that are set in that new Batman Adventures style comic. But my original instinct, what I would like to do if I had my, you know, if I could just, you know, make the project myself, would be still set in the original Batman Animated Series universe, like right where Turtles were set, where the Turtles series was set right after the end of those first episodes. And so that's kind of like the era I'd like to play with, where Batgirl's still getting started, you know, like she was a little more like inexperienced in our first series, where in issue 6 she's very experienced and knowing.
Oh, so you're saying continue with the Turtles crossover?
We'll just continue in that era, but so that, like, it would just be, you know, Batman stories, standalone one or two issue stories, you know, just like where the animated series feel. Try to get that classic kind of like where they would do mini movies, and, you know, kind of get that type of feel for a comic again. Where the
original. Oh, that's such a good idea.
Great. Like, I loved it, and I would love to do more. You know, I'd love to do comics like that. I really like to do I've done a lot of self-contained issues or small storylines, and that's kind of the thing I would like to do with this particular story. Maybe even have some threads in the background that continue for a while, if possible. But I just feel like there should be an all-ages Batman book out there, but the one that doesn't talk down to kids or talk down to anybody, because I always write for me, even when I'm writing kids stuff. So I'd want, you know, to be able, like, adults to be able to enjoy it just as much. And I think it's just DC not understanding particularly the nostalgia appeal for this series. Like, they've done, like, you know, Batman 66 and Wonder Woman 77 and series like that. Right. Where, you know, people like me who grew up with Batman the Animated Series are now adults.
Yeah, heck yeah, that's our Batman.
And there's so many, like, the toy line did really well for DC Collectibles. I think they're still doing more of those figures for Batman Animated Series. Funko is doing like tons of Batman Animated Series stuff. So I think there's an audience there.
Right.
And, you know, I'd love to talk to that audience, to write for them. But
oh, that's so cool. I'm so glad people like you are at DC. I can't even tell you, because this is my Batman. Like, you asked me, gun to my head, I don't even have to think about it. Like, Batman Animated.
Well, that would be a book I'd love to work on. I'd also love to be able to do a Batman 89 type book, because that was so important to me as a kid. But those are all pipe dreams right now. We'll see if DC ever wants to do those too.
This is so fun talking to a comic creator like of my generation. That's so cool.
Yeah, those are like, well, what? Because I've been a fan since, back to your original question that started all this. But yeah, my first comic book was Batman in the Outsiders number 10. And that was kind of the one that was in the house. I don't know where. I think my dad brought it home one day or something, you know. So I read and reread that a ton of times. But then when the movie came out, you know, I got A Lonely Place of Dying, you know, that series where they introduced Tim Drake. And that,
right.
DC, I mean, Denny O'Neil is just one of the best editors ever for Batman. I mean, besides knowing how to handle the character as a writer, when he just did great. Like, when the movie came out, he was like, okay, let's introduce a new Robin in the comics. This is going to get, you know. This is going to be a great new, you know, starting point for readers, which it was for me. Like, I was like, oh, who's this Tim Drake guy? I want to know everything about him, you know? And so
Denny O'Neil created Tim Drake.
No, I mean, he was the editor at the time.
Okay.
So yeah. Like, Tim Drake came out of the, what was it? Marv Wolfman story. Tim Drake actually first appeared in Batman Year 3 in like, just a very small background character.
When was that historically?
That was right before it. Like, that was, like, the series right before. That was, like, I want to say it came out like around, yeah, it was like 88, 89.
Okay.
And so that was like,
Tim Drake's that recent. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he's a very newer character. I mean, it was really like, he was created in those comics, but he really didn't find his own until like, the Chuck Dixon handled him in some detective issues, and then in Tim Drake's own comic that kind of spun out of the Nightfall event.
Okay.
And so on all that stuff, I felt like I was right there at the beginning of something, you know, very special, you know, and I still think it was. I think those were great comics. And I remember going back and buying all, I think Legends of the Dark Knight really appealed to me at the time, all those flashback comics. And that had started in 89 too, because they were really, you know, that was the first standalone Batman comic, an ongoing series that they'd done since in years. And this, I mean, there was Batman had, you know, like I said, yeah, Batman and the Outsiders. Before that, it was Brave and the Bold, which is a team up comic, but it was really just Batman and Detective for years. So Legend of Dark Knight came out, you know, in 89, and that really was these amazing stories that continued Batman Year One, you know, that early era of Batman's career. And then when Batman Returns came out, they debuted Shadow of the Bat, which is another ongoing series. But that was set in modern times. And
when Batman Returns, the movie came out?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So 92, I think, was that came out. And they did the Batman Shadow of the Bat came out. And it was Alan Grant was writing that. And Norm Breifogel drew it. And that was just, and it had these, like, amazing Brian Stelfreeze covers that I just remember, like, being, like, so, like, influenced by as a kid. But, yeah, that was just another way. It was, like, a great idea that, you know, all these new readers can be like, here's a new Batman ongoing number one. I just saw this movie, and now I can read this comic. So it was good marketing back then. And it worked on me. It sucked me into all the – I bought all those books, you know, and I went back and bought Batman and Detective. And then since then, I've gone back and read, like, almost everything, I would say.
And if you don't believe that he's nearly read it all when it comes to Batman comics, then tune in next episode to hear Matthew K. Manning flex his bat history muscles to prove it. He tells us about all the Batman history books he's written, then takes us on a journey from his favorite era of Batman, the Bronze Age, all the way through to the Bat of the Modern Age. The amount of rich, creative, and historical bat information that you got today and next episode is just plain unfair to those not listening. So tell your nerdy friends about the show. Make it fair. But how about part one of that interview today? Matthew K. Manning and I covered way more Batman ground than I ever would have expected. We jumped all over the place, from his work in comics to Turtles, bat history, and so much fun info about one of my favorite things on the planet, Batman the Animated Series. We hope you enjoyed part one of my interview with Matthew K. Manning, bat historian, author, and writer of the super awesome DC mashup comic, Batman TMNT Adventures. I should say we hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, cause wow, that was a blast for me. As much fun as it was interviewing Matt about the Batman Turtles book, it was equally as fun geeking out with him and just having an organic conversation about Batman, BTS, Turtles, movies, comics, really whatever came up. It felt like the nerdy conversations I had with my other Bat fan friends. This guy just happens to be, fortunately for us, a professional in the realm of Gotham City and Turtles. Couldn't be more honored. I mentioned this earlier, but coincidentally, this interview will be posted not a week before the trade paperback of Batman TMNT Adventures hits shelves on July 18th. So do not miss out on this trade. If you haven't started this book, then it is a perfect buy for you. You'll save tons compared to individual issues, and you'll also own numerous variant covers Matt talked about in the interview. It might have been in part two, but he said there were around 20 variants altogether for the whole book, many of them making it into the new trade. Coming from someone who bought individual issues, I am actually going to buy the trade as well, because there is not a chance I'm missing out on all of those variant covers. Again, look out for the trade paperback of Batman TMNT Adventures, written by today's guest, Matthew K. Manning. The book hit shelves Tuesday, July 18th.
This is Matthew K. Manning, and thanks for listening to Geek News, Bat News.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you once again for listening to Geek News Bat News. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the show on iTunes and give us a quick 5-star review. Just search for Geek News Bat News in your podcast app and tap reviews. It really only takes a few seconds, and then those little stars go a long way to helping us keep the show going. 5-star reviews allow us to continue bringing you all this rich Batman coverage, more interviews with creators like Matthew K. Manning from today, others in the business of Batman, special guests, and writers like me. Especially because we are still a fairly new show, I did want to emphasize to our listeners the importance of 5-star reviews. Please help us out. It's a free show! If you like what you heard today in audio form, you can also find my writing at comicbookintl.com. On both Twitter and Instagram, find me at comicbookintl, and my name once again is Benjamin David. Please be sure to check out Above and Batman Beyond. Please be sure to check out the Above and Batman Beyond podcast as well. Above is our second podcast here at comicbookintl.com, so this officially makes our website a podcast network. That is right, not just one, but two Batman podcasts under our utility belt. You can find Above and Batman Beyond on iTunes, SoundCloud, Podbean, and geeknewsbatnews.com. And of course, here at comicbookintl.com as well, along with the show you're listening to now. And don't forget, beside iTunes and SoundCloud, you can also find Above and Batman Beyond at our very own website, batmanbeyondpodcast.com. Just click on podcast episodes for our most recent shows. Geek News Bat News is a proud member of the Batman Podcast Network. We're thrilled and honored to be part of this awesome Bat Network of podcasts. So here's a shout out of huge thanks to BPN, the Batman Podcast Network. Go to batmanpodcastnetwork.com to find our show, as well as more than 20 others, all talking about the Bat. Thank you once again to BPN for bringing us into your audio Batman network. As always, if you want to send us any questions or comments and would like us to read them on the show, please hit us up on Twitter and Instagram, at comicbookintl, or send us an email, comicbookintl@gmail.com. We'd love to read your messages on the show. And that is it, folks, for the Geek News and the Bat News. Geek News Bat News, a Batman podcast, is not an official production of DC Comics, Warner Brothers, Batman, or any other company, property, and/or license mentioned on this recording on comicbookintl.com or on geeknewsbatnews.com. The thoughts and opinions shared by the participants of this podcast are theirs and theirs alone, and therefore do not represent the companies or organizations they happen to work for.